Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
Fine Gael MEP Regina Doherty has doubled down on her remarks over cycle lanes in Dublin. You might remember the backstory to this. It was during the European election campaign. The former minister told the Daily Mail in an interview that she believed the Green Party had turned Dublin into a spaghetti junction of cycle lanes that have divided the city like East and West Berlin. Now, naturally, the comments were denounced by the Green Party and their former leader, Eamon Ryan. But she was interviewed in Strasbourg yesterday by the Journal, and this is ahead of taking her European Parliament seat for the first time. And she admitted that, look, the wording in the initial argument was clumsy, but she still holds the view that the bike infrastructure in Dublin is authoritarian. And we want to chat about this today. Breen is with us on the line in Dublin. What is the cycle situation like in your view, Breen?
Hi, Andrea. I was on to you before about this. I think it was earlier on in the year. I live up in Steppeside, and during a COVID lockdown, I noticed that these cycle lanes started to be built everywhere. And my first thought was, why are they putting a cycle lane on this particular road? Because very few cyclists use it. And maybe it's to encourage cyclists to use this particular route. But I'll mention the road. It's a junction of Hillcrest Road and Kilgobbin Road in Steppeside.
Okay.
It was a basic small little two single lane roads. And what has happened is you now have four cycle lanes on one side of the road and two cycle lanes on the other side of the road and no cyclists. And I rarely, if ever, see a cyclist using the cycle lanes on this particular junction. And I can't understand why it was built in the first place. All I can think is it was a rush job during COVID lockdown. The Greens got in. They would put in as many cycle lanes as they could, wherever they could. Damn the consequences, damn the price, and damn the effect it's going to have on motorists.
Well,
and
I suppose,
other road users.
I don't know, but I'm half familiar with the area you're talking about, Breen, but maybe it was to entice more cyclists to use there. Is that? But you maintain there's nobody
well,
using
maybe,
it.
Maybe, yeah, but there is very, very few cyclists use it, you know. The other cyclists coming from Steppeside, that would come down the Enniskerry Road and head down towards Dundrum, turning right if they're going into Sandy for Business Park or whatever. And there's a cycle lane put there. But the problem with that cycle lane, it was put onto an existing footpath and single lane. There's a bus lane. Mm. There's now a cycle lane which is on the footpath. And the problem there is the cyclists who are frequent there, they don't use the cycle lane because it's stop and start. They have to move left, they have to move right. And as you know, cyclists want to keep the momentum. They want a straight line between two points. They don't. Some cyclists now, not all, but some cyclists think they're on training for the Tour de France. They hate the thought of stopping for red lights. Mm. They hate the thought of stopping for other road users, including pedestrians. And they will just stay on the road. So my point is, all the money that has been spent on cycle lanes, could it not have been better put towards public transport?
Okay.
Put towards, a better bus service or ideally this metro, you know. Will we ever see the metro? I know it's on the cards, but my God, I'm hearing about it 20 odd years.
Yeah,
no,
I know.
It, no.
But the listener here, fully in agreement with you, Breen, on this. I'm working and walking up in the area that Breen's talking about for a year, and I haven't seen one bike. He's so right about Steppeside. Caitlin is with us on the line in Dublin too. Caitlin, you're also a cyclist. Was Regina Doherty right though in her initial comments that we now sort of have, as she described, with this kind of spaghetti junction of cycle lanes?
I think that phrasing and the way that she said that was kind of ignorant and very inflammatory. But at the same time, I understand people's frustration when it comes to cycle lanes seeming like they aren't planned out in a connected way.
Well, does that not mean she was right? I mean, she has admitted since that it was sort of clumsy language. But like, they are very start-stop. Like, there's no continuous route.
There are, but at the same time, when you're trying to retrospectively put in cycle lanes, that is difficult because all of these cycle lanes have to go through public consultation and the local people are able to make submissions. And those submissions are often, yes, but I want to keep the parking space right outside my house, or yes, but we have a factory there, so there's a right of way needed. I would say that 15% of adults in Ireland cycle at least once per week, and the inclusion of more cycle lanes, according to a National Transport Authority report, has removed 680,000 cars from roads, and that there is strong support for more segregated cycle lanes across Ireland, even when that means less room for other traffic. And that is research that has been done that shows that across the country, that is the case. But I would say absolutely that there is a need to be more connected. There needs to be more connected thinking with regards to where those cycle lanes are and when they start and they stop and things like that. But at the same time, you can't have a connected system unless you also acknowledge that that might mean taking away some parking outside people's houses. It might mean moving something. It might mean changing a footpath. And in order to get a more connected system, you often do need to take incremental steps along the way to kind of get bits and pieces into place that hopefully over time will connect up.
Yeah, but is there any point, if to Breen's point, if cyclists aren't using them, is it still worthwhile doing that?
Part of it is, are they using them now? Will they use them in the future? And yes, in some cases, TDs get in because they promise to put a cycle lane in one particular place with no actual plan. But it's the same as roads. When people go, right, we need a motorway between town A and town B. Okay, that's great. Now people can get from town A to town B, but you can't get from town B to anywhere else. So it's about thinking in a systematic way about the main corridors that people move through. And sometimes it will look empty for a while. And sometimes we also have to acknowledge that you might not be on the road at the same time as the majority of cycle traffic. And you might not see the cyclists, but they may actually be there.
Tony is on the line. Tony, do you think the cycle lanes are well planned out in Dublin?
Absolutely not. I commuted to Dublin from Monaghan for many years. And the bottom line here is about the numbers. There are 2.6 million vehicles in Ireland. There are not 2.6 million cyclists. The number of people who commute into central Dublin is over 200,000. The cyclists are the minority of that. Most people use some form of transport, either a public transport vehicle or walk. The cyclists are an absolute minority. I sat for many hours, many years, watching cycle lanes beside me completely empty, while cars waited for a cycle lane light to change so they could proceed. The lifeblood of our city of Dublin is around commerce. Now, people might not like that, but the reason cities exist is because people walk there. And if people can't get to work, those 200,000 commuters, you don't have a city, you don't have workers, you don't have tax, you don't have money for anything.
Yeah, but you couldn't say in recent times, though, Tony, and particularly since COVID, that people aren't using the cycle lanes. Like, I commute in and out of this, right into the heart of the city centre in Dublin every single day, twice a day, and like the cycle lanes are full all of the time.
Well, the facts are there are 20,000 plus cyclists come into the centre of Dublin. Most of those are local traffic. They don't travel anything further than 5 kilometres, the vast majority of them. Most of them could walk or use public transport. But what you cannot drive an ambulance. You can't take an electrician, a plumber, a builder, all the things that the city needs to exist. You can't stick them on the back of a bicycle, on a pillion. And, you know, it's the pressure groups, the cyclists, you have to admire them. They're absolutely brilliant at lobbying. Public consultation, just over 2,000 people in a city of 1.5 million supported those cycle lanes. That is not even significant. Those consultations are not advertised widely. They're not relevant. The Greens who promote this lost half their seats in the council election and all of their MEPs. Now, the people will shortly have a vote in the next few months. And just you wait and see how many Green TVs.
Okay. All right, okay. Cian Ginty is with us too. Cian's the editor, is it, of the Irish Cycle? Irish Cycle, I should say, actually. Cian, thanks for joining us on the programme today.
Thank you, Dan.
Do you agree with Tony?
Well, I just want to say about Regina Doherty's comments, first of all, I think just the original comments, and I don't think a lot of her fellow MEPs from other European countries will be too happy if they heard the original comments that cycle lanes are like the Berlin Wall. 140 people lost their lives at the Berlin Wall. Over 600 people lost their lives on the inter-German border. They're just absolutely disgraceful comments, and she doubled down on them.
Well, she did admit that the initial part was sort of, she put it kind of quite clumsily, but she says the premise of what she said, she still believes, that premise being the view that the bike infrastructure in the city centre is authoritarian.
Yeah, she was using it as an election ploy, when in reality, in Dunleary was one of the examples she gave. In Dunleary, most Fine Gael councillors are supportive of cycling. There's a select few who aren't. Most
okay.
of them have.
Well, it was
even some of the ones who are disagreeing with some of the projects are voting in some very significant cycle lane projects.
Irrespective of the comments, for a moment though, Cian, like,
yeah.
the point being, are the cycle lanes in the capital city, are they well planned out? Could it not be planned out better?
It's a bit like everything else in Ireland. Everything could be done better, but that's not a reason not to do anything. One of your contributors there was saying that the city is about commerce. If we look at across Europe, cycling cities are booming. They're booming with tourism, they're booming with shopping. For example, Utrecht in the Netherlands, it's one of the most car-restricted city centres, and yet they have a shopping centre in the city centre and the mirror of half the shops that are in the shopping centre on the city centre streets as well. And they're booming. I mean, shopping bags hanging off the side of bicycles.
Yeah, and
it's
accept
not like
that.
All the shopping goes away.
I accept that in other European cities that is the case. I don't know if you heard our initial caller, Breen, and I know he gave one example of an area in Steppeside in Dublin, but it's remarkable the number of people who've got in touch, you know, making the point today that Breen was right about that there was cycle lanes put in an area near Steppeside and nobody's using them. There's no cyclist apparently in them at all.
Well, the junction in Steppeside that he's talking about, it wasn't a COVID project. It was a long-term project. And it doesn't go anywhere at the moment. It ends at that junction and it starts a couple of maybe 300 metres before that junction. It doesn't really go anywhere. So if a cycle lane doesn't go anywhere beyond that junction, the cyclists are going to exit the cycle lane to continue on. They're going to be those kind of faster cyclists. But the cycle paths that are being put in aren't for those cyclists, the faster cyclists. They're for everybody to use.
Well, that's the answer to your question, Breen.
Rome wasn't built in a day, though.
That's the answer, Breen, you were looking for.
Well, you know, I think part of the problem is the attitude of cyclists in Ireland compared to attitudes of cyclists in Europe. I spent a fair bit of time in Germany, and there are cycle lanes everywhere. And it is fantastic because the cyclists have bells on the bike. They will cycle at an appropriate speed on the footpath because there are pedestrians on the footpath. In Ireland, the cyclists cycle at one speed and that's as fast as they can go. They have little or no time for other road users. They have no time for pedestrians and no time for motorists. And until the cyclists' attitude changes in Ireland and then they can safely use proper cycle lanes. I am not against cycle lanes. I believe we need more cycle lanes, but we need them built properly, and cyclists need to learn how to use a cycle lane. The same way they need to learn how to use a red light or a zebra crossing.
Richie,
because at the moment they don't seem to know how to do that.
Richie, you wanted to make a quick point on this.
We, unfortunately, you hear me?
Yeah, I can indeed, yeah.
When the government was being formed, we had a leader of a particular party at all costs would give the Greens anything they wanted to become Taoiseach. And now we're paying the price. South Dublin County Council done very bad planning or consultation with the people in the Tala area. And Tala is the fourth highest population in the country. Now, there's bicycle lanes along the bypass, and there's nobody using them. There's bicycle lanes going through Aylesbury. and you can't even pull in to allow an ambulance or a fire brigade get past you because they have concrete settings in between the upright plastic poles. When the two buses come along, there's about a foot between them. They have to go by very slowly as they're passing one another. Now, when I moved into Talla in 1972, the council would not take an estate over unless the roads were a certain width. Mm. All them rules are all gone out the window. And at weekends, I see the, I call them the Stephen Roach lookalikes, coming out on their speed bikes. And they're using the emergency lane on the bypass rather than going up onto a beautiful bicycle lane that's built about 5 or 6 foot in from the edge of the road on a footpath with green spaces beside it.
Okay.
They won't use that. They stay out on the bypass because they want to keep going,
keep
as the last man said, as fast as possible.
Yeah, is that a big issue though, Cian? Like, just to that, consultation has been mentioned a few times by listeners today, and just in general, the kind of the, it's a lot of the blame has been put at the steps of the cyclists. Like, it's just cyclist behaviour.
Well, in terms of the cycling on the bypass in Talla, one of your callers who said nobody uses cycling, it got it right. The cycling on the bypass in Talla is stop-start. So, I mean, the lads who are out for a long spin aren't going to use that. And, I mean, there's a conflict there between what your callers are even saying. They want the faster cyclists to go on to the cycle lanes that are stop-start, that actually force cyclists to interact with pedestrians. That doesn't make any sense. It's a conflict between what two people are saying about cyclists. So cyclists can't win in that instance. I mean, in one caller saying that pedestrians are endangered by cyclists, and the other one saying that they can't go on the road. There's cycle lanes on the road on the bypass as well. It's very hard to win there.
I know. There's a listener here makes the point, I've never seen anybody use cycle lanes in